Welcome back. This is Avengers Endgame. Spoilers. The game is over. Made a statement during the podcast about Captain Marvel, and Captain Marvel is not a good movie. It is not good at all, and it is subpar for something like this movie, or the caliber that this movie is compared to that. And
I think it was strategically placed. That movie was strategically placed. Hold us off until the actual endgame. There wasn't really too much to it. There was hyping like, oh, she's the most powerfulest. They didn't write a good storyline, one. And then two, she probably doesn't fit the part.
And I would say that she's relatively insignificant to the story.
Captain Marvel, I think they ended up rushing, just trying to get it out there to have her. People know who she is before Endgame happened. Like somebody said earlier, she didn't have, what, five scenes in this movie, if you count.
And she was a hologram. She was a Star Wars hologram at some point.
She filmed an Endgame before Captain Marvel, right?
Yep.
Yeah, she had to, yeah. The only reason why Captain Marvel made as much money as it did was because they hyped the shit out of this movie, saying, like, this is significant to Endgame. Go see this movie. And also, in addition to, I think, because of the girl power movement right now, which is fine. That's all good and dandy.
Because I was kind of rolling my eyes when Captain Marvel popped on the screen. And I was like, oh, God. And she was, like, super pumped. And then a bunch of other women around were like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they started clapping in my theater today.
And I'm like, yeah. Who? So what? She basically said it. It was women weren't well represented in these types of movies.
Marvel is, they're trying to be very inclusive going forward. And so that's been the whole thing. And
that's good. Theater, I mean, that, that's not a problem.
Was different. When they had that scene, you heard a whole bunch of gasps.
The little girls, adult women, everybody in my theater today was clapping and going crazy when she showed up. Just like when everybody came back. The second Black Panther walked through, every black kid in my theater went butt crazy today.
Oh,
because now they feel like we can be this. Like, we're a part of this now, which we didn't have before. And the same thing at the end, which was a big question I had for a long time, was who's going to take the mantle after Chris Evans? Are they going Bucky or are they going Sam? And when they gave it to Sam, I told my wife, I said, look, Marvel, smart fucking decisions. I said, they gave the black man the shield because Bucky already has his lane. Now you're going to have black kids not only looking at Black Panther, but now they're going to roll to the next Captain America. Whether everybody wants to see it or not, black people are going to show up now. We've proven that with Black Panther. Like, right, seriously.
Yeah.
So Marvel made the choice of, all right, let's be inclusive. They have an Asian superhero in the next phase that they're going to put
out. I don't think that's going to do well.
I don't think it's going to do well, but the point is they're making sure that they represent everybody.
Everyone, yeah, yeah. Which is good. I mean, I don't have a problem with the women showing up in force because we kind of knew that was coming. I mean, it's rumored that they was going to have an all-women Avengers movie. Or
yeah, there's one in the comic book.
Yeah, I mean, which is fine. But the only thing that – this is my only pet peeve with this movie. It's only one female character that I was like, why are you here? And she's the most annoying character outside of Captain Marvel. And I know I did not see the movie. So people are like, well, you didn't see the movie. Can't really say anything. It's just that Brie Larson just doesn't do it for me.
She doesn't carry the role. She doesn't carry the role.
I mean, exactly. Like, and like I said,
everything she says is like so monotone. Even in this movie, there's no inflections. There's no directing her.
What is the antenna girl going to do in that fight? Because she was in there.
Well, I guess she can jump on Thanos'
head. Dude, he like stopped Thanos. She stopped him the first time.
No, not with Thanos. Where the scene where they had all the women and they had to get the gauntlet from one side of the field to the other side of the field. And I'm like, what is she going to do?
Well, if Manus touches anybody, she can go ahead and put him to sleep or knock him out or whatever. So,
basically she'll go around tagging people.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that... Yeah, that's the only thing.
I mean, of all the women there, she's the one who actually contributed the most in that fight with Thanos. But see your point.
With people's help, yes. But in an actual battlefield?
Yeah. True.
I don't know. I'm looking at it. I don't know. I'm looking at it military wise, but I'm just like, all right, as part of a grand scheme against one person, okay, I can get it. But in the actual battlefield.
Well, shoot, to be honest with you, even with one person, it's still, hey, knock her the fuck out. Don't let her touch you. Done. She's done. Good night. She's going to be asleep. But the one character that kind of blew me was Pepper. Like,
oh, God, I knew that was coming.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? I heard grumblings about that.
Well, why did she show up?
Like, why? Because I mean, I get it. No, I understand why why she was there. I get it. I understand. Okay. Well, come on now.
Mainly because she was underrepresented in the first movie, the Infinity War. And
well, no, I mean, I felt like they did it just because of the whole thing at the beginning when Tony told his daughter that she never wears anything I make for her.
Yeah. Yep.
And then she showed up in the rescue suit. And I was like, I mean, to me, that was the only real purpose of why she showed up like that.
I mean, no, I get that. But Pepper?
But you're going to leave your whole
That was her family? In the comic book, though.
I get it, but Pepper.
Yeah, no, that was her in the comic
book. But that was her in the
comic book. I understand that, guys. I get it. But Pepper.
Oh, for God's sake. You clearly don't get it.
No. Okay, she was rescued in the comic. So what?
No.
And she also wore the suit in Iron Man 3.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Let's get off this topic. So let's just talk about some of the plot points. So let's talk about the time travel aspect, which you knew where it was going because of Ant-Man. And do you think that was handled well?
Barry, you and I, like, we're into Star Trek, so the whole time travel thing is, that's a repeated
theme.
I thought they did something very smart in this. They basically told the audience, explained the whole quantum time travel thing. They basically just summed it up and just said, look, this is how time travel works. All right? What you do in the past, you can't change the past. Period. Past stays the same. You can't change it. You can't alter it. You can't create new timelines or anything like that. This is how it is, and that's it. Done deal. And the minute they set the rules from the get-go, you took away all the other things. So it was basically them, in order to accomplish what they needed to do, which is pull items from the past and then put them back again, they had to go through this sort of time heist, as Scott put it. It was a unique way for them to handle it, and it was more along the lines of, don't push this or don't interact with somebody or you'll mess everything up. It was along the lines of, if we mess this up or if we trip or hit the wrong note, we lose our opportunity to get what we need. It didn't feel like one of those things where you just kind of wait and see what changes are made once they get to the future. It's whether or not they're going to accomplish the mission or not. So I thought that was a pretty good way to handle time travel.
I was still trying to understand it a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I've seen it twice and I'm still kind of like, eh. Mainly when Bruce Banner is talking to the Ancient One and she explains the thing about if you take one stone out and then the timeline that she kind of put up, there's a piece that breaks off. And she said, if you don't put the one back, then Bruce said, well, if you put it back, that everything stays the same or stays in line. That part I'm still kind of trying to figure out a little bit, but I'm not trying to overthink it too much.
I mean, generally, again, going back to Star Trek, it's the branching universe theory.
I think they're going to tie that into X-Men.
I agree with Mike. I didn't get it at first. I kind of let it go after a while. Because it was just like, okay, I guess it makes sense if you put everything back. It's like nothing's changed.
Right.
So,
but then that was the thing, because it's like past people showed up to the future, so are certain people alive or are they still dead? Which way is it go? Because there's a couple people that you really don't know.
So Gamora's back, and like because she's dead, she's really dead because of the soul gem.
That was the whole thing. Is she dead now or is she still alive? Because of the
soul gem. She should still be alive because her alternate timeline.
Yeah, her 2014.
So
she's
I don't think they'll ever clarify any of this stuff. That's too much.
Well, no, that's also basically Nebula brought all Thanos and his whole army to 2023.
Yeah.
So he brought everyone to 2023. Mm-hmm. That includes Gamora. All right. Nebula kills her old self because I'm not even gonna try to explain how that worked, but
theoretically you should be dead.
Exactly.
According to like time travel movies, time travel rules, keep referencing Back to the Future.
That, well, they kept saying that it was wrong.
Yeah, it's like if you die in the past, you're never born. So, but go ahead.
And to me, that makes more sense. Dead in the past, how can they be a future you? Unless they splintered the timelines, right?
Once they pulled them into the future, all right? Because 2014, Thanos didn't come to Earth. You know, it wasn't pulled into the future. The 2023 crew, that what we saw in the movie, their past was their 2014 happened the way we saw it in the movies. Mm-hmm. This mess when Nebula brought Thanos to the future was completely different. You know, think of it as another timeline.
And also with that, because there's a Loki scene and Loki disappears with the Tesseract.
Right, because now everybody was like, all right, so is Loki dead or is Loki alive? And I said, well, if he disappeared with the Tesseract and we're saying Gamora's still alive, then Loki's got to be alive.
Loki should have showed up at the end. And I'm like, oh, all right, that makes sense. So, again, I just felt some of it reminded me of the Star Trek 2009. Just, like, even the way that Thanos' ship shows up in the future. It's the same way that it happens in 2009 Star Trek. Kind of reminded me of it. And again, that also deals with time travel. To kill Spock because Spock is responsible for the destruction of Romulus. We wanted to talk about Lebowski Thor. And
yeah, then, that was funny as shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That worked hilarious.
So Thor has a belly. Like,
that was amazing.
So the whole thing about Thor was that Chris Hemsworth has always gotten in shape for that movie. And he kind of turned it on his head this time around where he has a beer gut. And all he wants to do is just play Fortnite for some stupid reason.
Right.
I'll play Fortnite, drink beer, and eat and hang out with Core and Mink. Right? Yeah, Mink.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Noob Gamer 69, I think, was the guy.
Yeah.
I'll fly out there, take out your arm, and stick him up your butt.
But, I mean, of all the characters that they introed and showed up, I don't think that any one of them had as well-developed character arc as Thor did. Because he shows up as kind of shallow in his first movie.
Yeah.
And they kind of hint that the whole point of the movie is like to learn to be a better person and a better
friend. He needed to be humbled.
He needed humility.
And I'm going to disagree.
No, they go into that, particularly with Thor the Dark World, I mean, which they make fun of in this movie, but shows because he tries to reconcile with his mother, and his mother's just like, yeah, I understand.
That was good when they picked that up.
Yeah, because I mean, that was a whole motivating factor for him during the last movie that he said he lost his father, lost his brother, lost his mother. Then you have the chance to go back and do that, which was handled a lot better than Happy Death Day to You. But I thought that was handled well.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
The whole thing with his mom and also Natalie Portman.
You know, you kind of wanted them to like have a snap of the fingers. He's back to his old self, but that didn't happen. One artificial eye. He still had the gut, beer belly, the raggedy beard and natted up hair. Still looked a hot mess. But that final battle, when he calls forth both the damn hammer and Stormbreaker, and he just got his gut hanging out, and he's like, both hands outstretched. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that shit worked on every fucking level.
Story arc was better than Tony Stark's. When you take a look at Tony Stark's character, the visions that he had, as far as he wanted to build a suit of armor around the world, how it interacted with other characters, I don't feel that it had as much impact as that.
Well, no, I agree with Keith. And the reason why I agree with Keith is because you saw the progression of his character from the first Thor to now. He basically took on the failure of not being able to defeat Thanos. He internalized that onto himself, and basically he went to a deep depression, just done with it. And you just saw that he had to kind of get over that. He had to overcome that. And when he went back into time, he saw his mother, had his conversation with his mom. He felt that he was still a failure. And then at that one point when he tried to call for Mjolnir, whatever it's called, his hammer, it came to him, he felt that he was worthy. That was the point that he felt that, okay, I'm not an utter and complete failure. Him talking to his mom and then being able to call for his hammer. This whole time, in this whole movie, he really didn't do too much compared to Infinity War. Infinity War, he was kind of the main focal point of the movie to me. This one, yeah, he kind of took a back seat.
I mean, this one was Captain America and Tony Stark. I mean,
right.
It had to be. Mm-hmm. And also a little bit of Paul Rudd because he wasn't in the last movie and it's really his idea to go back in time.
So for him to get past that and to actually show when it counted, I mean, it was just show character progression. I think that all the character arcs that were closed were good. They were great. But I think the progression of the Thor character was very good. I mean, you got to think about it from this perspective. If he just went for the head from the very beginning in Infinity War, would we even have this movie right now? No. So basically, all the people that died, all the people that were killed or whatever, he took all of that onto himself.
Yeah, he thought it was his fault.
Right.
And Tony Stark, he didn't really progress, like, in my opinion, because Tony Stark immediately blamed everybody else.
Tony blamed Captain America. From the first movie?
He blamed Captain America.
From the first movie, Tony's progression was done. And I told my wife a couple weeks ago, we were watching Avengers, and Captain America says a line to him about, you're not the guy to make the sacrifice play. I told her then, I said, he's the one that's going to die. Because he's not supposed to be the one to make a sacrifice play. That was never him. He was always the most selfish. The original person to sacrifice everything was Chris Evans, was Steve Rogers. Yep. So when Tony did the snap and he died, his progression was he became the one who was like a father figure to Spider-Man, who wasn't selfish anymore, cared about everybody, and ended his own life to take care of the rest of the universe. And that's why Pepper told him, you can rest now. No more thinking, no more trying to solve the problems and driving yourself crazy and all the other stuff. And then I like the way they did Steve Rogers, because then he went back and he got to live his life. How do y'all feel about Captain America getting the hammer?
amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah,
I haven't talked to Pac yet. He's the one person I need to talk to because Thor's his boy, and I got a feeling he hated that shit.
Well, at some point, I thought it was going to be Vision.
He gets very serious about his characters he loves. If you say anything wrong about Vader, God bless you. Feels a way about something with Thor, God bless you. And I'm telling you, I would not be surprised at all if he's like, oh, no, fuck that. Ain't no way.
It happened in the comic book.
I know that. I'm just saying. I know how he gets.
Okay. I mean,
I didn't predict it, but
no, I didn't predict it. I thought it was great. When the hammer went, I was like, oh shit, because in Ultron, he moved it a little bit, and Thor was like, oh shit, and then he was like, see, not worthy. And then they had the line when he was like, I knew it the whole time. I was like, that was funny as shit.
Yeah.
He was like,
and Cap was getting out. Do
it. So we're going to move on to my least favorite character in the Marvel Universe, Ronan, a.k.a. Hawkeye.
Damn, man.
Wait, you didn't like Ronan?
So first of all, they show a scene in Tokyo. I don't see any Lawsons. I don't see any Family Marts. I don't see any 7-Elevens. I don't see any Yoshinoyas. So I'm like, that wasn't Tokyo. And then...
Oh, God.
Oh, come on, man. That was like a block. That was one block in Tokyo. That wasn't there.
I knew Barry was going to find something. I knew it.
No, man. No. That doesn't count as a negative. All right. Keep going.
So they go to that direction where the movie starts off with his character and he loses his family, goes off the rails at the point for like whatever ungodly reason, which doesn't make sense.
Oh, wait, back up. You don't know why he went off.
So overcome with grief that he just started to root out evil anywhere in the world. Okay. I don't care. It's Hawkeye. Like, he's nobody. He's a nobody.
Really? What the hell? Are you serious?
He's a nobody in these movies.
He's a core Avenger.
He was in the first Thor movie. Who is he in that movie? Nobody. In the first Avengers movie.
Black Widow?
Avengers either? 2. He should have died. He should have died in Avengers 2. You know that.
That was Jeremy Renner's biggest complaint with Marvel, was his role was never really substantial at all in any of them. He never said that he regretted signing on. But he said the first movie, I sat in the perch or had my one little scene. Fine. Said first Avengers, half of the movie, I was brainwashed. It had no real traction. And then even after that, it was kind of the same thing. So his biggest complaint was, where's the depth to my character? It was never there. So
they put it
in this movie. They killed his family.
You don't even have real powers.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's nobody. So this will lead me into my next point, which is the death of Black Widow. So it comes down to a choice, as in with the first Infinity War movie. In order to get the Soul Stone, there's a life for life.
Right.
Thanos chooses to kill Gamora, and then it comes down to ScarJo and then Jeremy Renner. I was talking about myself trying to sacrifice myself, but you're talking about sacrificing yourself, and then there's this whole long drawn out scene about who's going to choose to sacrifice himself. Black Widow is the one that is sacrificed. I'm like, no!
She sacrificed herself.
She wasn't. She sacrificed
for
herself.
For him to succeed. Because if it works, he gets his family back.
I understand. I don't care. He doesn't deserve it.
I thought that was well done.
No.
The fact that he's done so much wrong now that he was ready to say, F it, I need to go.
He had one scene.
The Red Skull say, sacrifice or the one that you love most. He doesn't love her the most.
No, the thing you love most.
The thing that you love the most.
Which is life. No one wants to die.
I don't care. It's Hawkeye.
You don't like Hawkeye.
You're being just real petty right now.
Black Widow is more important to the Marvel Universe moving forward than Hawkeye. Finish Hawkeye moving off. Forward, yeah. I don't care.
God, the Venom.
No. Is she really
though? I don't care, no. Yo. All right.
It was not really fall into. So here's the thing, Barry. If
it's Hawkeye,
you had that first opening scene, the dude lost his family.
I don't care.
You know what? This is like Will Smith thing. So should we just ignore him for this?
He just had to say it.
Oh Lord, it's Hawkeye.
He's already on a damn tangent.
Black Widow deserves much more respect than Hawkeye. She's been in more movies.
She has a movie coming out still.
Yeah, she's still got her own solo movie coming out.
Yeah, the prequel.
There's not going to be a Hawkeye movie.
There's going to be a series.
I don't care. Just finish this character off. It's Hawkeye. He's the most insignificant character in this whole ensemble cast.
It made sense, and it was an excellent scene.
It worked.
No.
Black Widow's whole thing throughout the past 10 years is all the wrong she's done, and she finally does something right. She sacrificed herself to save everybody.
Exactly. She had no future.
It was the perfect thing to do.
She had no future, being an assassin and killing more people. You want her to kill people the rest of her life, Barry? Is that what you want to do?
Yes.
You want her to not have purpose?
Yeah.
Well, no. The other thing, you remember in Age of Ultron, her story arc? Age of Ultron was that she could not have children.
And when she got introduced,
we were introduced to Hawkeye's family.
Hey, big guy.
She maybe latched onto them as a surrogate family. Bringing back that family is just as important. So she was done. Absolutely done.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and close that one out. It's Hawkeye. Come on, dude.
Oh, my God, man. No, it's Hawkeye.
This has been Hawkeye's best performance.
He's a fucking badass.
No, he wasn't.
You didn't like any of the scenes, the part where he got the Infinity Gauntlet and all that he got the
I'm like, you start the movie off on this dude. Like, come on, man. No.
Oh. Damn, Barry.
What do you mean they start the movie off?
They should have started the movie off.
Continuation.
With,
Nick Fury got.
They should have started the movie off with. You should have gone for the head.
I guess you emotionally invested right away.
You should have gone for the head. Recap of Infinity War.
My God.
And then go look for Thanos. I'll just eliminate his character. He should just not even be in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Man, Venom was talking nonsense. Jesus Christ.
It's Hawkeye,
dude. Talking nonsense, man. I'm not going to listen to this.
All right. So, it's Hawkeye.
He's going to say that to the end of the podcast.
We're going to talk about the final battle at this point.
Damn, man.
So, obviously, they resurrect. And we talked about this before, that they... then started having Doctor Strange say that he had just been waiting for like 5 years and then started opening up portals and then they bring everybody back.
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't say he was waiting 5 years. He said it's been 5 years.
Yeah, well, I thought Peter said that. It's like, well, we were sitting there with like the Doctor Strange and he started opening up portals and that's what I thought he said. Maybe I might be.
No, he was just saying
it's been 5 years because remember, he already saw everything happen. He knew what was going to happen.
Exactly.
So he just told Peter, it's been 5 years. We got to go.
But how did you feel about the final battle?
Because
it reminded me
epic. 14 million possibilities. One worked. He's seen everything.
It reminded me of Ready Player One with Marvel characters.
Not really.
Yeah.
That big fight scene.
I gotta disagree with that one, but
I didn't say the impact of it. I'm just saying the fight scene.
Are you talking about just like the?
Well,
the
I mean, Ready Player One had like just random.
The
characters.
Amount of characters with
Master
the amount
Chief,
of characters.
Overwatch.
Oh, I see. I know you're talking about like where it was just like there was so much going on. You recognize something that was happening or some character like in like that. Like, okay, okay.
Yeah,
I
like did you guys notice that Howard the Duck was in that scene too?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Howard the Duck was behind Wasp, but it was like super quick. I saw the movie twice, and I heard that he was in there, and I was like,
"What the fuck was he going to do?"
He's in it. That's James Gunn's favorite character. That's the reason why he's in it.
Yeah, and they're actually talking about doing a movie too.
It's Howard the Duck.
I'm not here to argue it. I'm just saying it's in it.
Okay.
Oh my God! I gotta rewatch the show. I would just say again,
the middle of the movie and the end of the movie are the strongest parts of the movie. And I could have had that ending battle go a lot longer.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
what would you highlight?
I would just have more action.
Thanos was a beast, man.
See, that's the thing. I think people forget. That Thanos is a goddamn monster without the gauntlet. You know, they just thought, a lot of people may think that, you know, if he didn't have the gauntlet, it would be easy. And that's not the case. Like, people don't understand. Thanos is not a joke. The gauntlet just amplified himself. I mean, without the gauntlet, he is a massive threat.
Man, he went ham on Captain America's shield. I was like, he tearing that shit up.
Cap was getting out with the hammer.
Oh, he was fucking him up.
Yeah, at some point I thought it was going to be Vision.
And he was fucking destroying shit. Well, he was handling that shit. I liked that the end of that moment when he's got the broken shield in his arm, binding up his arm, and he's just standing in front of the whole army. Whatever, come at me.
That happened in the comic book.
Didn't know.
He stood toe-to-toe with Thanos.
Yeah, I remember that.
And also thought it was pretty good, the fact that he fought himself.
Very well.
America's ass.
He was, like, come on, Loki.
Worked out phenomenally.
Like, Bucky's still alive.
They've never had him, or at least Chris Evans has never, like, kind of put real feeling into when saying Avengers Assemble. It's always been like a whisper, like never really says it out loud.
You didn't really say it out loud on this one.
Avengers and Assemble. Dude, go ahead, man. You're in front of a
green screen. I wanted him to yell that shit.
You're in front of a green screen pretending to fight aliens. Just go for broke. Let it go, man. Just let it all go. Just embrace
it. He should have said it with more. First time I was like, did he whisper it? And then I saw it today, and I was like, yeah, he whispered it, because I saw it twice.
But you got to remember, man, he's got through fighting. You think he has all that?
It's called adrenaline, Jay.
Man, you get your ass beat.
Oh, man.
And how much adrenaline you got left?
You see all them people right behind you that came out of nowhere?
Kind of clever, like on your left. It was like, from every movie, he's like, on your left. T'Challa just walks out, and like, the whole theater went nuts.
Right.
Yeah, you know, dude's like, Wakanda forever?
The final scene was just amazing. I thought the final scene, the final fight in Infinity War was good. This just kind of just erased that to me. Because they were deep.
So if you compare this to Justice League, Justice League handles this.
Oh, really? Going there?
What? I'm just saying,
man,
Justice League handles
this angry now.
So poorly. So poorly. Because, again, it's supposed to be this caliber of story.
We're more emotionally invested in these characters.
Yeah.
To be like, all right, we're going to have this huge fight.
I mean,
like,
James likes Batman.
Oh, what'd you say?
I said James likes Batman, yo. All right?
Yeah.
He's mostly invested in Batman.
Yeah, but how about everybody else?
They could all kick rocks, especially Superman. Fuck Superman. But anyway.
And again, as I was saying, X-Men Apocalypse. Apocalypse, this should be that caliber of story that you have.
I agree.
They come together to kill Apocalypse. Same thing with Phoenix. That should be, hey, you have everybody. You want some random comic book character? They should be in.
Fucking
Phoenix. You got Cableman, Bishop, and like everybody.
Fucking Phoenix, man. I don't know what to talk.
Jay,
I'm not gonna let it go, man.
Fret not. Like this. Snap of a finger, all that shit's going about to be erased.
Good. Can I erase it from my memory? Can I get memory wipe?
Only you can do that.
They can make up for X-Men 3, James. They can make up for that.
There's enough alcohol in the world for me to forget that bullshit.
All right.
I love Eugene.
So, talking about Tony Stark's sacrifice.
Was anyone crying in your theaters when you went?
It was so funny, but it wasn't funny because when it happened, I was like, okay, I knew it was going to happen. I mean, it was sad to me, but I didn't get misty out over that shit. But I looked around the theater, man, it was dudes like tearing up, trying to fake like they weren't crying and shit.
Nah, there was a dude today that literally. You can hear, yesterday, there was a girl behind us. She cried so hard that she had to blow tissue 4 or 5 times. And we were all sitting like, damn, you all right?
Only parts that I could tell that I got misty out on was when Thor was talking to his mom. Because like I said, I felt...
Yeah, same here.
I felt the pain with Thor. I could kind of understand where it's coming from. When you feel like you failed and people were depending on you, you could have just stopped all of this and you failed. You don't want that feeling. Nothing is reassurance from someone you care about that you're not a failure. You're not this. You're not that. So I felt that personally. So yeah. I understood that. And
especially for Thor, because he was always close to his mother. He and his father, I wouldn't say had a contentious relationship, but his father didn't think he was worthy.
Right. That's the part that I got misty-eyed on. I got misty-eyed on the end when Cap finally got his girl, because Captain America had perhaps, to me, one of the saddest story arcs. He got these powers. He was doing the right thing. He gets frozen in ice. He missed out on the love of his life. He saw her die. He's still young. She's about 100 years old. She was up there in age. He lost a lot of his livelihood. I mean, he didn't have a life. And then he went back in time. And
he also lost Bucky for a certain point in time before he showed back up. But
got to live the life that he missed out on. That, to me, was amazing because he was always a good, pure character. You always wanted to see him win. After a while, he probably came to grips with, like, you know, hey, it is what it is. I'm here now. Let me just do what I have to do. Still continue to be this symbol of hope. But at the same time, he sacrificed a lot. He sacrificed his whole life. He missed out on everything. And then he was able to recapture that even just for just to live his life, that was amazing. So I was happy for the character. I was hoping Iron Man, Tony Stark, was going to die. I was hoping that...
Well, Mike has been saying that for almost like a year and a half.
So. Right. Yeah, I think most people knew that was going to happen. But I don't know what they're going to do with Captain America. Just don't have him die because he just doesn't live his life. Don't have him die. I don't know. So I was thinking like, okay, I don't know how he was going to end it, but the way they ended it was perfect to me. I'm glad that he was able to live his life. He finished the last mission. He lived his life, had a family, married the love of his life, got what he missed out on. Thor, he got his confidence back. He felt he was worthy. He completed. He basically came to his own knowing that, hey, I want to be who I am and not what people think I should be. I'm going to live my life as well. So all the main three, their story arcs ended perfectly.
And I will just say this about another character, which is the Hulk. Really feel in both of these movies, he's just underserved.
No, I think they
downplayed
him
a little bit.
Expect the Hulk to just come in and destroy everything, but...
I mean, you only see a little bit of the Hulk in Infinity War the way that the Hulk should be. It's just, Thanos is toying with him. And that makes sense, and then having him being in the Hulkbuster armor, but the Professor Hulk angle with this movie, and not really any explanation. It's just like, they do provide it, but... It probably should have been shown. Maybe they did.
There was no further detail. It was like, yeah, you know, I just basically came to the conclusion that Hulk is in disease and kind of came to an understanding. You don't understand how they came to the understanding, which to me, I don't have a problem with. But I would still like to know how that worked out. But it is what it is. I consider that to be a detriment to the film. But I understand what you're saying. And I will say the Hulk had a funny ass part when they went back to the Battle of New York. That was funny shit. You gotta go smash some shit. You're like,
I think it's gratuitous, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how do people feel about the Stan Lee cameo in this movie?
I thought it was good. I had no problem with it.
Bumper sticker said, enough said.
Yep. Yeah. It's sad that this is probably the last one, but...
I think he might show up in Spider-Man.
He filmed a couple more.
Yeah, I can't remember. I thought they said it was either this one or Spider-Man's the last cameo.
Yeah, but were those gongs at the end of the movie for Stan Lee?
What gongs?
They were like...
That's supposed to be Iron Man, crane his armor. I personally don't have that many qualms with this movie except for Rescue. That's a personal thing for me. I'm just not a fan of Pepper Potts, man. I'm just not.
I mean, I know you didn't like it. Like that, her scene in Iron Man 3, but I thought this one made more sense.
Iron Man 3 one is terrible.
This one, she came on board. She showed up to help her man out. And she
Keith, everyone in the Beast Gang, I get it. I just don't fuck with Pepper. Shit, man, fuck her. She's just annoying.
Well, what's so annoying about her, dude?
She exists. That's why.
Damn, Jay.
That's how I feel about Hawkeye, yo. Come on.
Well, see, the Hawkeye thing, you know what? The way you feel about Hawkeye is the way I feel about Pepper.
It's a lot of hostility, man.
It's Hawkeye, dude.
Where is all this coming from? This sounds like personal.
Yes, it is personal.
Okay, so what did she do to you?
Exist! I told you, she exists! She's like Superman exists. I love Black Widow, but I hate Pepper Potts, man. That scene with the women would have been fine minus her.
I think Captain Marvel was in that scene as well. I'm like, yo, you got the, like, she's supposed to be super powerful.
So this wrapped up all the characters leaving, right? The ones who are going to return. Tony Stark is done. He's dead. I don't know if Robert Downey Jr. is ever going to return. Maybe I can still see him dropping a cameo here and there. I'm kind of wondering that when he died, the big thing within MCU was that if they need something, Tony Stark can just build it. They're not going to have that anymore.
There's no more S.H.I.E.L.D., technically.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s done. Well, considering the fact that they're not doing anything with the
TV
shows. Yeah, Shuri. No, Wakanda.
There you go.
Hey, did you guys catch all the other Easter eggs in there? Ant-Man, when he came back and he was stuck in that storage facility and he saw the number 616, that's in reference to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And then that book that Kim Jong had, that was titled Endgame.
I didn't see that, but 616, yeah, that's the Marvel Universe. I didn't know about the book. I wasn't paying that much attention.
Beginning where Tony Stark was saying that they've been in space for 22 days in reference to the 22 movies that came out prior to this one.
A little too deep for me in Easter egg department.
Yeah, the only main one that I saw people talk about that I caught, Okoye mentioning the earthquake in the ocean. Everybody said that's a reference to Namor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which would be amazing.
I like the Captain America when he's in the elevator. I wanted him to say that line that he said in.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say it too.
They did a little.
Hell Hydra.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that sleek happened a year ago and everybody was upset about it. Winter Soldier
is still a great movie. That is.
Yeah, that's still a good movie. That is still in the top five for me. Yeah,
action scene in that elevator was a good scene.
So, but then, see, that's the thing. That was made by the Russo brothers, man. That's why I feel the way I feel. It's like, they are so good in telling these stories. Who, after this movie, is going to continue that shit? I mean, I'm not saying they won't come back, but of course they're going to have to take a break. They probably in high demand. They probably got other projects, which are well-deserved,
Yeah, they got a movie they showed a trailer for, 21 Bridges, that they produced with Chadwick.
Okay.
Yes.
See, but that's the thing. This movie is so good, I don't see how in the world ever follows up. Well, Spider-Man Far From Home is next, okay?
Right.
But after that, what? Well, how? How are they going to keep up? How? Only way you go from here is down, man.
I mean, you have Spider-Man and Black Panther 2. Like, I think those two movies are strong enough to stay on their own and garner their own attention as opposed to this movie. Like, whatever
Doctor Phase Strange.
4. Dr. Strange 2, Guardians 3.
I mean, I still think
that... Oh, who's directed Dr. Strange? Scott Dickerson?
Yeah, he come back.
I still think that Spider-Man and Black Panther are going to be the two stronger movies of anything that comes out.
Yeah.
One, because Black Panther, despite some questionable CG in the third act, is a good movie.
Hopefully they improve the CG.
Yeah. And then Spider-Man, just on his own, is a very popular character. Regardless if it's Sony doing it.
James Gunn got rehired for Guardians 3.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty epic.
So now the question is going to be, is Thor going to be in it? Hemsworth said he wants to keep doing it. So,
well, the thing is, I think he's going to, for simple fact, the end, character arc is still going. It hasn't ended. He's with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And also, if you look at the last Thor movie, kind of wasn't an ensemble movie because he was with the Hulk and also with Loki. So you kind of keep that going, that maybe Thor should not be on his own.
Do you think this will improve Ant-Man? Like, Ant-Man was real good in this one. Real good. Paul Rudd did a fantastic job. I think they gave him a lot more stuff to do than in his own movies, personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Direction and character in this movie is much better than his own movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right.
The first movie is a good movie. Ant-Man and the Wasp is like, yeah.
It was there.
That's on Captain Marvel level.
Because, again, I think they were just fillers. Because it was like, all right, well, we're not going to put out the next one until next year. So here's just a couple to tide you over. And it was the only way they could explain, give you a hint about the Quantum Realm, and then Captain Marvel, of course, just to enter into the hell she is.
Falcon going to get his own movie, or is he get a TV series?
Him and Bucky have a TV series.
Series coming, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, like a buddy cop.
What's called? Wanda and Vision have a series.
So hold on. Whoa. How are they going to do that? That must be
before we'll find out. This. It's either before all that, or they're going to explain how Vision still exists all of a sudden.
I'm going to guess it's Shuri because she did something.
I think she has a backup. She has a copy of Vision.
The Hawkeye thing, I think they were talking about doing a series. I don't know if it's going to happen. Black Widow's supposed to start shooting later this year.
He doesn't deserve it.
Oh, God. Why? Oh, shit, man.
The biggest question is going to be, after Spider-Man, everybody's going to be waiting with anticipation to find out the big announcement of what the plans are for the next 5 years. Because 5 years, he's got the 5 years mapped out. He knows what he's going to do. He already said no X-Men for the next 5 years, so go ahead and pump your brakes.
Silver Surfer.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest announcement. The biggest question I had today was, are they going to announce it at Comic-Con, or are they going to wait till later in the year and just kind of do just a random press conference and put it out there?
I think they're going to have their own press conference.
Might as well.
More than likely.
Involve anybody.
Or they'll do it at Disney's Expo.
So who do you think is going to be the next big villain?
It's either Doctor Doom or Galactus. I think it's going to be between the two of them, and I'm leaning more towards Galactus because Feige said, Phase one is over. Now they're going cosmic. So I think that's why the focal point was on Captain Marvel just a tad bit, because they're going cosmic. It's going to be between her, probably Guardians. That's why you keep Thor with them now.
Adam Warlock, they still got to touch on that.
Yeah, they got to reveal him. But
yeah, so we'll see.
I look at it like, to James, your earlier point about they can only go down, like how they're going to top this. I felt the same way about the first Avengers movie. I'm literally thinking, like, how are they going to top this? And freaking Winter Soldier topped it. Civil War beat it. You had solo movies killing it. They have enough respect for the material, and there is more than enough material to go around from the bringing on. And if it gets stale, Fantastic Four, like the Fantastic Four reveal or even bringing mutants into the Marvel Universe, that's going to blow the lid off the whole thing. But Dr. Doom, damn, I mean, I don't even want to.
And that guy's a cerebral thinker, man. He's just not like, I'm just going to punch you in the face.
Dr. Doom would have to be Fantastic Four.
He's looking at second, third, fourth order effects.
I have faith that Marvel would do a good job on him, but I don't know. So far,
they've not made mistakes. Granted, I was kind of hoping that DC, 5-6 years ago, I was hoping that DC would just follow in Marvel's footsteps and, you know, we would have both these properties on the same level. And I was kind of like, well, these odd years are going to be Marvel, even years are going to be DC, and it's going to be like that. And
Shazam is a stronger movie than Captain Marvel. So you got that.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah, you're right about that. But they're doing their thing. So, I mean.
And they finally figured it out. They finally got it turned around because of how terrible the production was for Justice League.
Well, that's because they got rid of non-comic book people and started getting comic book people in the building and in the office to make decisions. Feige grew up reading comics. He's invested in all this. This is something that he knows. So it's not like you got somebody sitting there that doesn't know shit going, oh, you all don't know what you're talking about and hasn't read a damn book ever.
Well, what is Marvel doing? They're doing an all-female-led movie? Let's do that.
Yeah.
I want to know if everyone is kind of thinking the same thing or in the same area. What were you disappointed for them to have touched on? I didn't like the send-off for Black Widow. I thought she should have had a little more kind of a memorial or mourning period for Black Widow.
The only connection is just Hawkeye and the fact that Samuel Jackson shows up at the end.
Go back to the whole business aspect of it. I think the reason why hers wasn't as big is because she's got a movie coming out.
Right, you're going to see her.
She's not done. I think the main reason why it was such a big deal about Tony and Chris is because they're done. I think Chris Evans pretty much already said he's never coming back. And Robert Downey Jr. a couple of movies ago had already said, yeah, I'm 50-something. I don't want to just be known as Iron Man anymore. So he was already kind of on his way out. And I think
movies coming out?
No.
Sherlock Holmes. I think it's not Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, they're going to do another Sherlock Holmes, but he wants to start going back and doing more serious projects and stuff. And I think the big thing with him was, again, like I said earlier, 10 years ago, Iron Man was looked at as a big gamble. Nobody thought it was going to work. And Robert Downey Jr. was a gamble at the time because he was fresh off rehab and hadn't been acting for a minute. So everybody was like, oh, this fucking movie's going to tank and it's not going to be anything. And Marvel, you're going to fail again. And then it made a bunch of money and everybody was in love with Iron Man and it worked. And that was the beginning. Awesome. And that was literally the beginning of the whole 22 movie saga and everything. And a lot of the actors have all said in multiple interviews, Robert Downey Jr. has been the glue that's kept everybody together. On set, he would have everybody eat lunch together and invite different people each day to come sit down and he talked to everybody and build all these friendships and relationships with everybody. And so I think Marvel just did it this way to kind of say thank you, because none of this is possible without him saying, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Right.
If he never decided to do this, we wouldn't be discussing this right now.
Yeah. And so I think that's why it was so much heft on his funeral. And then again, why Chris Evans got the send off, he got to finally get the girl and go off with this happy ending because he did Captain America all these years. And mind you, he was fucking Human Torch for two bomb movies. You know what I mean? That bomb. So, I mean, it was kind of a pretty good reward to the fact that he did Captain America so well. A lot of people forget that he was a Human Torch.
That first Fantastic Four movie is okay. Tim Story is a good director. I don't know what happened with the second one.
He did the second one?
Oh, I can tell you what happened with the second one. They're like 50 billion executive producers who stick their nose into it and end up rewriting the script and changing shit up. I can't even blame the director for the Fantastic Four reboot, because what he described is what happened.
Christ.
After what he described what happened, you hear similar like stories about how Foxes came in and like, okay, we're going with this cut. That's not a good shot. Changing shots on the director. Fox is a terrible company and a terrible shepherd for that license, that project.
If I bring up one thing, I will say, if I have any predictions, then I'll say this now. I believe, and I'm saying this wholeheartedly, I'm being completely honest, I would not be shocked one bit if this gets nominated Best Screenplay, Best Fucking Movie, and Best Directors. And I feel it should, just because of how well the movie was done. I feel like the Russo Brothers for damn sure should get a Best Director nod at the Oscars.
They won't win it, but
I don't think they'll win. I do think it'll get nominated.
And I'm pretty sure Best Picture's going to do it.
Yeah. And I would say don't be too surprised by it, because Black Panther has two Oscars. So
Yeah, especially if Black Panther got Black Panther's a good movie, but I personally don't think
Infinity War is a better movie.
Yes, agree 100%. If that's the case, this should at least get a nod, at least minimum a nod. It's a great movie, man. It's like I agree with you, Mike. I am definitely going to watch both of those movies back to back.
Yeah.
So that's going to be probably my whole weekend gone. I may watch Thor Ragnarok just to like start it off. Thor Ragnarok, then Infinity War, then Endgame. Thor Ragnarok, I think you should watch that before you watch Infinity War, because that really brings in Infinity War. So
yeah, you can just watch the end, though, technically.
Yeah, yeah, you could. But, you know, I like Thor Ragnarok. That was actually a pretty good movie. So I was going to add that to the list, too. So I knew it was going to be good, but I did not expect that to hit those emotional key points.
$1.2 billion. All right.
I did not expect, I heard people like saying, man, people were crying. I'm like, oh, man.
Concerned because everybody was going Masterpiece 10. There's, oh, my God, it's perfect. And then I was like, oh, Lord, do not let me get in here. And then I'm blown that I
found exactly
80 million things I can't stand about this movie. And I'm going to be real upset.
I had the same fear because we've been doing this podcast for years.
So I was like, Jay just texted me 4 times straight. And you said 10. And that's all I'm going to say. And I was like, oh, shit. I said, if Jay says it's dead, if Jay used the word perfect, I said, this movie must be fucking good because, shit on Facebook, you are a critic.
Everyone that I know that saw this movie has said, like, I've not heard anything negative up until Barry. I haven't heard anything negative up at all. Man, at all.
Good score. It's not that negative.
Hawkeye. That's all I got to say.
Hawkeye, dude. Come on, man. Clint Barton.
What is it with Hawkeye?
He's the worst character in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
I'm just saying, Ant-Man is a stronger character than Hawkeye. Agreed. At this point, Iron Man and Captain America and Thor are the top level characters, and then you have sub characters.
I would say this.
I mean, Quicksilver saved him, dude. Come on, man.
I would say this: that the Russo brothers are good at doing ensemble casts because they did a great job of all these characters. To me, every character got enough screen time. Even the ones that showed up at the end, they all had like a shining moment.
And even in Civil War, it's balanced properly.
I am a huge fan of the Russo brothers. They on the same level with me as James Wan and Lee Wan Nell right now. Anything he put out, I'm going to go see. I don't give a fuck what it is.
James Wan!
I have never seen a movie that had me so emotionally invested, that got me misty-eyed as many times as this shit. I didn't cry. I ain't no bitch. Like, nah. Then my feelings a little bit because, like, Matt and I think Keith, I think everyone has said that we are emotionally invested in all these characters because it's been so many movies. You feel like you know these characters. You know? For you to see the character progression for all these characters and to see, like, there's some of the story arcs in, you feel it because you've been on this roller coaster with them from the very beginning, and for it to end the way it did, it was just beautifully done. I don't know what else to say. Kudos to the Russo brothers, man. I mean, it's just amazing.
I have a question. It's amazing. Based off of one character in this movie, do you think Comcast, aka Universal, will now do a full-fledged Hulk movie?
They should. They should.
And maybe they do the same deal as Sony and Spider-Man, where Disney might produce the movie.
Well, the thing is, it makes perfect sense business-wise. Like, why would you not? I mean, if you're still getting cut off of the movie for the Hulk, why not? You're sitting back getting paid just because you lend the character out? What? Why not?
Mike, any comments?
I think they should. I think the problem is, and this is why the Hulk's character is never really flushed out in any of these movies or really to the level they should be, is because Universal, if they do a project with the current deal, Universal basically gets most of the money. I don't know how the hell that ever worked out, but that's what the deal is. So to do a solo Hulk project, they need to renegotiate the deal. And like Jay said, you just need to do the same deal Sony did, which is a big question mark now, too, because I think after Far From Home, that deal is up. And so most people tend to think Sony's going to get greedy now and try to snatch Spider-Man back because of success of Venom, try to incorporate all that with
into the Spider-Verse. That is still a great movie.
Stick with that.
Yeah. And just let Marvel have a brain. They'll leave Tom Holland where the hell he is and figure out a way to get Venom into the Marvel Universe. and keep the deal as is. And if Universal's smart, they'll do the same thing with the Hulk. As long as Mark Ruffalo wants to do it, then just make the deal and get it done, because you're going to make money.
Right. If you can sit back and make money by just sitting your ass.
Right. Y'all don't have to do anything. You're basically just getting paid to sit back and chill.
Why not do it? This is a no-brainer. If they don't do it, really need to, like, have a psychological evaluation or some shit, because I would do it. What? So you're telling me I could just lend a Hulk out to you and I get paid millions or billions or right, how many much money? Why the fuck not? I'll sit back and just like, okay, have fun. Do it. I'll just count my money as it comes in. More money, more money. Like, for real. Like, just do it. Not rocket science here.
And Lord knows, once you get the X-Men, shit.
All that I worry about the X-Men.
I'm actually not too worried about him, and I got another name for the hat for that fucking character.
Who?
Just hit me up. Taron Egerton.
For who?
I'm sorry. Wolverine. I looked at him in that Elton John trailer, and I was like, damn it, if you put the fucking sideburns on his little ass. I'm telling you, it needs
you
to
know
be.
What? You know what?
It needs to be a person you would not think would do it.
So, Disney now owns basically the rights to Kingsman, which I assume came a part of that deal. So, I'm about to give you credit on that one. I'm speechless right now.
Sorry, the trailer came on. It was like the first shot I saw, and I was like, I'll be damned. This little fucker could be Wolverine. I don't know where it came from, but I was like, I would try him out, test footage to see what it looked like.
Even that terrible Robin Hood movie, he might be the best part of it.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I like Edgerton. He's pretty good. And I think that Elton John movie is going to be good, but
they already called an Oscar for him.
I just do not see him as Wolverine. But you know what, Mike? If I swear to God, Mike,
That's the beauty of it. I say it before. I would literally cast Zac Efron as a fucking Tony Stark, because he looked like a young ass Tony Stark if you put a goatee on him.
You think he has the acting chops to do that, though?
Did Robert Downey Jr. technically? Because he didn't like when I look.
I mean, he's a good actor.
But I think this is his most well act version of Tony in this movie now. Like when I looked at Iron Man 1, which I just got through watching, I'm like, I don't even think Robert Downey Jr. was even working. He was just collecting a check. Like it wasn't even.
Man, I would probably say Civil War, and then also Infinity War is probably.
Yeah, but I think this is when he probably, like, when he really put acting chops in. All the other ones, I seriously think he just sat back and collected $40 million. Like, this ain't even work. I'm just having fun doing this shit. What is this? I think he looked at it as an opportunity just to kind of restart his career.
Yeah.
And then when everything blew up and it took off, it was like, because Jude Law said that when he got approached about Captain Marvel, he didn't want to do it. And he said, I called a friend. And they said, well, who'd you call? He said, I called Robert Downey Jr. And they said, well, what did he say? And I asked him what he think. He said, dude, just do it. He said he looked back on doing Iron Man. He was like, just do it. Best one of the best decisions you'll ever make. Because Marvel caters to everybody so well. It's not going to be a bad decision. Benedict Cumberbatch said that. He was like, they literally adjusted the schedule so I could still play Doctor Strange. Had never seen that before.
And to be honest with you, I am looking forward to Doctor Strange. The second.
Oh, Doctor Strange 2 is going to be a beast.
If he did not show his ass off, we would not be discussing...
Yeah, like I said, that's what I said about Thor. I was like, between Ragnarok and Infinity War, Thor has so much traction now, Hemsworth would be dumb to walk away from this. Because now he's arguably a bunch of people's favorite character.
And I hope they keep the momentum going and it just, it goes up. But like I said, if it goes down, I'm still going to be in the movie theater. I'm going to be right there. I know I gave it a 10. As many movies that I've seen, even though most of them are horror, but most of the movies that I have seen, I've never felt... so many ranges of emotions, from sadness to laughter, just being so ecstatic. It hit every emotional beat possible. I don't know what else to say about this movie, man. Do not know what else to say. And I agree with you 100%, Mike. If this movie does not at least get a nod, I feel robbed. It should at least get a nod.
It's literally closing the chapter. If you ever wrote a book, this is the exact way you end the book. They could have dropped the ball so many times, and I sat there and watched, I was just like, I don't see anywhere where they really failed like that. I need to watch Infinity War and this just straight the fuck through. And I still feel like they should have kept Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2 and not changed the titles. Because I think that would have made it just a little bit better. Because to me, it's just one big 5.5-hour movie that they just decided to condense into two parts because whatever.